Psalm 90, we will read that psalm. Psalm 90. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction, and sayest, Return, ye children of men, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday, when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep in the morning, they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth, and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down, and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength, labour, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long, and let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to read the first 20 verses. That's Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, reading the first 20 verses. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savour. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, have any inheritance in the kingdom of God, kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Seeing then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And we do ask the Lord's blessing upon his word. This sermon started a few months ago. I was reading in Exodus and Genesis, and as you read those books, you come across phrases like this. In Exodus, "And it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the burden, and they cried. And then it came to pass in the process of time, Moses, when he dealt with Pharaoh, we read, and the Lord appointed a set time, or behold, tomorrow about this time. Exodus, and it came to pass at the end of 430 years. And as I read these things, I was very struck by the way that the Lord is the one that is over and above and controls time and events. And so I had jotted down a few notes, and when a brother asked me to preach, I thought, yes, I will return to these. And so this sermon has grown out of these. I'm going to concentrate more on Psalm 90, and consider in particular verse 10, "For the days of our year are 80 years and 10, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labour and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away." And then verse 12, "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom." But as I said, this sermon grew out of reading these verses and being very struck that it is the Lord that overrules in all time. And then it was only later that I suddenly realised that we are on the last Lord's Day of 2014. And so it is indeed an appropriate time to number our days. As we pass into another year, we can indeed stop and look back. In fact, the very year 2014 numbers our days for us. As we go into 2015, the days are numbered. But as you read the Word of God, I trust that you all see and you're all conscious that indeed the Lord is in control, that all events come to pass at his decree. Of course, we see that in Christ's coming, don't we? Galatians, we read, "When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law." The fullness of time, the time when Christ came, was appointed. The Lord God, the Trinity, had decreed that Christ would come into this world at that time. But similarly, he had decreed that Pharaoh would harden his heart at that time. He had decreed all the various events that we read of in the Bible. And by extrapolation, the events that happen in our life are not mistakes. They are ultimately decreed by the Lord. And of course, we see this even so with Christ, don't we? When they came to take him, they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him because his hour was not come. Again repeated throughout John's Gospel. And then when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto his Father. Again, the timing is not down to the day. It's down to the hour and the minute and the second. And so we need to stop and consider the Lord's dealings with us and be conscious of them and acknowledge them. So often we're not very good at acknowledging that the Lord does control the events, the days of our lives. And so we read in Job, don't we? Job chapter 14. "Man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower, is cut down, he fleeth also as a shadow, and continueth not. And dost thou open thine eyes upon such a one, and bringest me into judgment? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean one, seeing his days are determined?" The number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. The Lord has appointed our bounds. We need to acknowledge this. We need to recognize it. Because if we do, we can find great comfort, like the psalmist when he said, "My times are in thy hands." When he says to God, "My times are in thy hands." And what better times to be in, what better hands to be in than in the times of the Lord. And as we saw this morning, it is the Lord that has created. It's in him we move and have our being. And so that's the comfort. We know that the Lord is in control. And Genesis, that book of beginning, tells us all about time. Time was created by the Lord. In the first chapter of Genesis, we read, "And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good." The Lord God created time, the days, the hours, the seasons, the months, and the year. And the Lord God is outside of time, isn't he? Because he is the one that created time. As we read from Psalm 90 in verse 2, "Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God." God is not constrained by time. And verse 4 reminds us, "A thousand years in thy sight are but as yesterday, when it is past, and as a watch in the night." The Lord God is over and above time. But he has created time for mankind. He created the day and the night for our benefit. And the time that the Lord created, it was good. Man has marred time by sin and wickedness. And so let us never complain that we don't have enough time. The Lord has appointed our days. It's up to us how we use them. And so, as I said, it's the last Lord's Day, the last Sabbath day of 2014. And so we consider our days. And I'm sure that each one of us would benefit if we stopped and reflected on the past year and the Lord's dealings with us. We can look back and we can reflect on what the Lord has done for us. We can look back and reflect how the Lord has kept us and preserved us, how the Lord has provided all that we have needed. But we can also look back and repent of those things that we have done which we ought not, or perhaps those things which we ought to have done and not done. But we're also at the start of a new year. And as we've seen the Lord's goodness and the Lord's faithfulness over the past 12 months, I'm sure we can go forward with confidence, because we know that the Lord changes not. The Lord is not influenced by time. As we go into another year, we're a year older, a year perhaps more weary, not quite as active as we were. But we know that our Lord's power is not diminished. The year has changed, but our God has not changed. Our God still reigns. Our God still rules. He is that sovereign ruler of the skies. And so we look forward to the coming 12 months, to go forward with our Lord in the coming 12 months, as individuals, as families, and as a church. But as we do this, we need to remind ourselves, we perhaps are making plans. We do make plans, don't we? In the coming 12 months, we think about those events that we're looking forward to, that perhaps what we might do. But we do need to remind ourselves, as James reminds us, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we'll go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what ye shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is in a vapour that appeareth for a little time and then vanish away. For what ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. And so as we start the new year, if the Lord will, whatever we plan to do, it is if the Lord will. Because as we've seen, our times are in his hands. And Psalm 90, as we see, it's a prayer of Moses. Moses, that man of God, that man that was obviously conscious of all God's dealings, of all God's appointed times. And if you think about Moses' life, he experienced that time in Egypt. He experienced that time in the wilderness. He saw the Lord's dealings with Pharaoh, with the people of Israel. He saw the Lord unfolding his purposes at that appointed time. And the Lord's timing being perfect. Just think, they got to the Red Sea and the Red Sea parted. Perfect timing on behalf of the Lord. And so we have this prayer of Moses, that man of God. On verses 9 and 10, they remind us of the brevity of our life. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our year are 80 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labour and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. And so none of us can presume. Moses here is talking about an average, as it were, an average lifespan of 80 years and 10. But let none of us presume. None of us can take this for granted. It is if the Lord wills. As Isaac reminds us in Genesis, he says, behold, now I am old. I know not the day of my death. And that applies to us all. We might not be able to say, I am old, but each one of us can say and should say, I know not the day of my death. In fact, our observation, doesn't it, teaches us that no men know when they're going to die. We know of people that have made plans and suddenly the next day the Lord has taken them. Those that are saints, they're with Christ, which is far better. Those that knew not the Lord are disappointed. Those that are left behind mourn, but at least we know those that are the Lord's are with him, and that is far better. And it reminds us, though, that one day we'll all die. And so we have this time, we have these days to be prepared for that day. And that's why the psalmist is telling us to number our days, to be prepared for that day. And if we do that, if we do number our days, we will stop and think, and we will realise that we are mortal, that we are not going to live forever. The world doesn't like to count their days, doesn't like to think about their days, because they think they will go on forever. But the Lord has told us, has instructed us, has encouraged us to number our days. One of the very few things that we're encouraged to number. We're not to count our wealth or anything else, but the days that the Lord has given us, we're to count and acknowledge and to remind ourselves that we are frail, finite creatures. As I said, 80 years and 10, but if by reason of strength, 80 years, not a very long time. And Moses, in this prayer, he says, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Something that perhaps we don't need to do naturally. Moses is asking the Lord God to teach him to do it, to teach us to do it. As I said, not many things we're told to number, is it? But ask the Lord, to be taught of the Lord. Because if we're taught of the Lord, we will view our life in this world aright. As I said, it's not something that the world does naturally. But if we're taught of the Lord, if we apply our hearts to wisdom, we can learn through this lesson. One commentator did say, and I think he's right, we can never do that, that's count our days, except we number every day as our last, because as we've seen from James, we know not what a day may bring. It's if the Lord wills. In our own strength, we can't number our days because we know not what a day may bring. But if we're serious, we will pray, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Prayer is the starting point of numbering our days. And then, if we love the Word of God, that will show us the way that we're to number our days. The Word of God is God's wisdom, and so we will get that wisdom to apply it to our hearts. And the text book to teach us is the Word of God. And that's where we need to start and to consider. It's heavenly arithmetic, not the counting of men. We're instructed to number our days. As we know, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. And so applying the word of God to the numbering of our days will instruct us in righteousness, and that we'll be truly furnished unto all good works for all the days of our life. And so the Lord, in his goodness, helps us to number our days. As we saw in Genesis, he created days. He created the seasons. He created the years and the hours as well. So the Lord has started and helped us, but he has also given us his word to instruct us, to help us in numbering our days. He's also given us the Sabbath day, one day in seven, a day that is structured where we can reflect on what the Lord has done. We can gather together and hear his word preached. We can gather together with people of like precious faith that are also numbering our days, numbering their days. And so we can encourage one another. What a blessing the Lord's day is. What a day that we should treasure. What a day that we should number. It's that day when we can gather together and remember our Saviour. And as we so often sing that hymn around the table, it reminds us that we do it once more and once less. We are getting closer to the end days every time we meet. And so that reminds us that we're numbering our days. We remember the Lord's death until he comes, and we're counting those days, we're numbering those days. We're remembering that those days are getting less. And no wonder the writer of the Hebrews writes, and he exhorts the Hebrews Christians, he says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, so much the more as ye see the day approaching. That day is approaching. Do we avail ourselves of those opportunities to assemble together? Some were forsaking assembling together. Paul is exhorting them to assemble together. What a blessing the Lord's Day is. What a blessing it is to assemble with people of like precious faith. People too that are conscious that they're frail mortal beings that have to answer to an almighty God, that are prepared by the blood of Christ to answer to almighty God. If we live 70 years, I hope my arithmetic is right, we have 25,550 days. That's 3,640 Sabbath days. Not many Sabbath days, is it? And if you consider, until we're converted, we've wasted numerous of those Sabbath days. We don't have many Sabbath days to redeem, to use that time. So let us avail ourselves of the opportunity. Don't forsake the assembling of the saints. Let us use this opportunity that the Lord that has given us, the days that the Lord has given us. We might think we've got plenty of time, But as I said, I was converted just before I was 20. To make the sums easier, I've got to take off 700 of those days, down to just under 3,000 Sabbath days I have if I live till I'm 70 years and 10. Not many days, so don't squander the days. As Job says, in fact we all say it, don't we? Time flies. Job says, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. You know that allusion to the weaver's womb where they pass the shuttle backwards and forwards, and you might have seen a skillful weaver, they can pass that shuttle so fast you can hardly see it. Job says his days are whizzing past like that. Or Job in chapter 9, he says, now my days are swifter than a post. They flee away. They see no good. They are passed away as the swift ships, as the eagle hastens to the prey. When he says there, they flee as a post, he's talking about that swift messenger that was running through the cities carrying those messages. They're like those swift ships that are passing fast, or that eagle that hasteneth to the prey. You've watched a bird of prey and how it suddenly plummets upon its prey, how fast it goes. Job says his life is passing by that quickly. And surely that's the experience of each one of us, isn't it? We all say it, time flies. The psalmist says, for he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. We only have one life. We only have one time upon this world. We can't live it again. And so we have to redeem the time that we are given. We have to use the time that we're given with great wisdom, with great sense. We do need to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom as how we use it. Solomon, that preacher of old, those wise words he gave, remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. As I said, converted just before I was 20, 730 days, Sabbath days wasted. If you remember your Creator in the days of the youth, you will have more Sabbath days to be blessed upon, more days to know the Lord's goodness. And if we do number our days, we become very conscious, as I said, of the brevity of our life. Think about it, a bit of basic maths. Roughly a third of our time is spent asleep. There's time spent doing those necessary things, eating and those sort of things. So how do we use the time that is left? What is the purpose of numbering our days? Not so that we can brag. We've asked the Lord to teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And that wisdom is how we use those days in the service of our God, in the service of our Lord. As the psalmist writes in Psalm 39, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is that I may know, how frail I am. How frail I am. In the margin it says, what time I have here. If we're conscious that time is short, then it does concentrate the mind. We will trust, use it wisely. By numbering our days, again, we realise our frailty. But we realise that our God is over and above time. He is the one that, as we've read, a day is as 1,000 years. He is the one that has created. He is the one that is all powerful. He is the one who is to be worshipped and served. We're frail. As we've read, behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and my age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best estate is altogether vanity. If we number our days, we realise how worthless we are, and we realise how great our God is. We will seek after the Lord. We will seek him. As Deuteronomy says, oh, that they were wise, that they understood, that they would consider their latter end. Do we ever number our days? If we do, we might well consider our latter ends. Winston Churchill, I believe, when he got to 70, I think it was, or perhaps 75, jokingly said that he was prepared to meet his maker. I don't think he was. But if we're considering our days, will we? Are we prepared to meet our maker? If we are, we can sing that funeral hymn, "Forever with the Lord, Amen." So let it be, because we have considered our days, we've realized we're frail, that one day we will die, that we will indeed meet our Creator. And so, if we have that wisdom from God, we'll consider our latter end, we'll acknowledge our frailty, we'll acknowledge the vanity of our life, we'll acknowledge that we can do no other than seek the cleansing blood of Christ, the forgiveness, and have faith in Him. The world rushes by and lacks wisdom. The world does not say, "Teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom." I'm amazed at work. The only numbering of days that the people there seem to do are the number of days until payday, because they've run out of money, the number of days until the weekend, so they can go out and have a riotous time, or the number of days that are left until they go off on holiday. What are we to do? We're to number our days, but apply wisdom to it. And if we apply God's wisdom, we will benefit from it if we number our days aright. I don't know whether you, I'm sure you all have, we have difficult times. We have difficult days, perhaps difficult weeks. And how do you number your days? As I said, people at work going through a difficult time, someone just the other week said to me, "Oh, I'm so looking forward to this holiday." They're going through a bit of a testing time at work, and all they had to look forward to was a holiday. What about the saint? You've numbered your days. You know you're frail. You can console yourself at the end of that difficult day, at the end of that difficult week. We're a day's march nearer home. What an encouragement that is to us. Doesn't that help us cope with those difficult times? If we've numbered our days, we acknowledge that we have a finite time. We don't know the day of our home calling, but we know that we are a day's march nearer home. At the end of 2014, the last Sabbath day, we're 365 days nearer home. If we live, or the Lord doesn't come this time next year, we'll be 365 days nearer home. What an encouragement for whatever trial, whatever difficulty we will face, if we number our days according to the Lord. Or if we're like the world, we'll be thinking about that next holiday. That next holiday will come, that next holiday will go, and they'll be looking forward to that next holiday. What are we looking forward to? We're that day's march nearer home. That is our hope. That is our comfort. That is our strength. That's why we can go forward into this coming 12 months with fresh courage and hope that we're marching to glory. We're a day's march nearer home. And so stop and reflect. Number our days. Let us apply the wisdom of Solomon to our days. Again, as we read in the Psalms, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring." It's all, as we've read in James, if the Lord wills. But we know that the Lord is working out his purposes in this world and in our lives, and his timing is perfect, if the Lord wills. And so we've looked briefly at the reasons for numbering our days, that our time is appointed by the Lord. And how do we view the events? The world says such phrases as an untimely death. Is there such a thing? We remind ourselves that the Lord has appointed our times. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall to the ground without your Father knowing." Two sparrows falling to the ground our Lord God knows. He knows the death of each one of his saints. And the death of his saints is precious. So there's no untimely death. Let us acknowledge the Lord's hand in all the events in our life. As I said, the world is very good at using these phrases, but we need to remind ourselves as we number our days, the Lord is the one that is in control. The Lord is the one that has allotted our time. As we've read in Job, seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Our times are in God's hands. And so, again, don't let us be like the world and criticize God for these events. Let us learn the lessons of those events. Let us seek the Lord's wisdom. Let us ask the Lord to apply these lessons to our life when we go through these difficult times. Let us seek the Lord's help, but don't let us criticize the Lord because we think it's unfair, untimely, or whatever. The Lord is in control. That's what it means to have a sovereign Lord God. He is the one that is working out his purposes. And as we read in Psalm 31, verse 14, he says, "But I trust in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hands. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecuted thee." Each one of us should be able to say that. I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. We trust in God. What comes after that? The psalmist says, "My times are in thy hands. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me." We pass through a difficult time. Ask the Lord to help us, to deliver us from that trial. To not to doubt that our times are in the Lord's hands. Satan will come and tempt us in this coming year, I am sure, that when we have a difficulty, he'll be saying that the Lord is not there. But if we number our days, if we remind ourselves that the Lord is in control, that our times indeed are in his hands, he is the one that will deliver us, that give us strength. As the Apostle Paul found out, didn't he? He had his trials, but he could say, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly thereof will I rather glory in my infirmities than that the power of Christ may rest upon me." To know that the Lord's grace is sufficient for each trial in this coming year should help us as we go forward into the coming 12 months. We can look back, I trust, and know the Lord's grace and help in those times of trial that we have passed. And so we have that confidence to go on, knowing that the Lord will strengthen us and help us through these trials. And through these trials, our faith grows stronger. Through these trials, we can help and encourage one another. One of the purposes of assembling together is that we should be able to help our brothers and sisters. We might have passed through similar trials. We can empathize with them. We can weep with them. We can encourage them. We can rejoice with them at those times of blessings as well. And so let us use the Sabbath days that the Lord has given us in this coming year for the benefit of each other, to encourage each other, to strengthen ourselves. And so the psalmist says, Moses says, "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." In one sense, that's the easy part, numbering our days. 70 years. The difficult part is what we do with the days that we have. How do we apply ourselves? We've seen that life is short. We have to use this knowledge and apply it. We need to apply it with our hearts, and we need that wisdom from on high. That numerical knowledge is no good unless it's applied, as it's applied aright. It doesn't say, apply our minds to this knowledge, to number our days and apply our minds. It's our hearts. It's our whole life, how we live in the light of this knowledge. If we apply it aright, we need that wisdom. We need to calculate with God's calculation. And this verse is a prayer that we need to make, to ask the Lord to teach us, to ask the Lord to show us how we apply these things to our hearts. As James reminds us, if any lack wisdom, let him ask God, that he giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. So we've numbered our days, and we look for this coming year. Are we asking the Lord for wisdom in how we use this coming year? Ask the Lord at the beginning of this year for wisdom on what to do, to guide our feet, to guide our paths, and to help us as we go through this coming year. How often do we say, if I'd known so-and-so, I wouldn't have done it? Let us ask the Lord before we do so. Let us seek wisdom from the Lord. And as I said, we look back, don't we? We number our days, and we can look back at wasted times. But the Lord is very gracious. As we read in Joel, he says, I'll restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm. The Lord will restore. The Lord will help. But it's our responsibility to identify that locust that has eaten the days that he has given, to identify that cankerworm that the Lord that has eaten those days, that caterpillar, that palmer worm. And we need to identify in each one of our lives those things that distract us from being about our Master's business. As we number those days, let us ask wisdom for the Lord to show us those things that distract from using those days aright. We realise how short the day is, but the Lord has given us 24 hours. There is sufficient time to be about our Master's business. It's how we order our time, how we allocate our times. And so in the days that we live in, we soon realise that time is short. Indeed, we know from the Word of God, the wisdom of God teaches us, that we're living in the last times. As we read in Ephesians chapter 5, didn't we? That we're to redeem the time. We're to purchase the time. We're to rescue the time. We're to use the time that the Lord has given us. And just briefly, as you look through Ephesians, what are we to do? First verse, we're to be followers of God. We're to walk in love. We're to walk circumspectly. We're not to walk among the world, the filthiness, the jesting, the unclean, with those unfruitful works of darkness. We've got to prove what is acceptable to the Lord. We've got to measure it against the Word of God. We've got to encourage speaking to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Concentrate on those things that are good and of benefit. Circumspect. And as we read through Ephesians, we can see that every day we can apply. If you read later on the circumstances that Paul writes about, husbands and wives, how they organise their affairs. Later on, children, fathers, servants, mothers. And so whatever we do, we should be able to do all to the glory of God. Whatever circumstance we find ourselves in, if we aren't doing it to the glory of God, then surely we're in the wrong circumstance or doing the wrong thing. As Paul writing to the Colossians says, he says, walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. We need great wisdom as we walk through this year. Great wisdom as we walk through this world in the coming 12 months to those that are without, not to be distracted, but to redeem the time, to use the time. Whatever circumstance we find ourselves in, the Lord will help us. The Lord will grant us wisdom in dealing with these situations. The psalmist so often says, wait on the Lord. And that's something that we need to learn as well, patience with the Lord. In the coming 12 months, I'm sure that we'll need to learn to wait on the Lord, because the Lord's timing is not necessarily our timing. We can so often be impatient, as we've read, a day with the Lord is 1,000 years. A day is of no consequence of time to the Lord, but it is to us. And so we might need to learn patience. We know that we're living in these last times. We know, because the Word of God tells us, and you remember when you read in 2 Peter chapter 3, he says, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye be mindful of the words which are spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandments of us the apostles of the Lord, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the waters, whereby the world that what then was, being overflowed with water, perished." There will be scoffers. There will be people that are impatient, saying the Lord should come. We need to have patience, because we're told to watch, wait and pray. And so in this coming 12 months, let us learn to number our days. Let us ask the Lord to grant us wisdom as we seek to redeem the time. And then there's Paul, as he writes, and with this I'll close, he writes to those Romans and he says, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armour of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chamberings and wantonness, not in strife and envyings. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfil the lusts thereof." We're living in the last days. The night is far spent. The days are drawing nigh. We're days march nearer home. And so let us take heed to what the Apostle Paul has written, that we put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we could close with the last part of that psalm, that prayer of Moses. He said, "Makest glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it." If we would see the beauty of our Lord in this coming year, if we'd see the work established, we will be a blessed and a privileged people. And so let us go forward into this coming year, having numbered our days, but knowing that our times are in his hands. And we close with the singing of that hymn number 755. "My times are in thy hands, my God. I wish them there. My life, my friends, my soul, I leave entirely to thy care." Hymn number 755.
My God, I wish them there. My life, my
And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.